From KRCB in Santa Rosa, it's Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour with Michelle Anna Jordan.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available real-time traffic alerts. More at Acura.com/RDX.
You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining under.
Coming up tonight on Mouthful, the Sonoma County Land Trust and an emphasis on Lakeville. So stay tuned for the wine country's most delicious hour.
You start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic. It's then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it to make sure it doesn't stick. And you got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my
trick. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing tonight? I hate to say this, but gosh, another gorgeous day in Sonoma County. These days, they just unfold in perfection. It's not too hot. It's not cold. It's just been glorious lately. And that is one of the many things that makes me very happy. We have the Sonoma Land Trust. And yeah, I sometimes call it the Sonoma County Land Trust. And I think that's because I'm so used to distinguishing to people away from here. No, not the town of Sonoma, the county, Sonoma County. I think I've gotten into this habit of like just Sonoma County out of my mouth all the time. But in fact, it's the Sonoma Land Trust. And one of the most special days to me in all of my time here in Sonoma County, which began first time I was in Sonoma County, I was 2. So I've been connected to this place forever. I think it must have been 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, we had a salon with the title Lakeville Stories. And this took place down in Petaluma at a location that is no longer there. But people just came out of the woodwork to listen to or tell their Lakeville stories. And at the time, there was a controversy about perhaps the Grayton Rancheria was going to be putting in a casino and a big hotel in Lakeville. And it was a really scary fight. So we had this wonderful turnout, standing room only, people coming out of the woodwork. And the next morning, we woke up to the news that the Grayton Rancheria had decided not to do anything in Lakeville. And although we had nothing to do with it, it felt like we saved it. And I was so happy to hear that the Sonoma Land Trust had acquired some of the land and is protecting the land in a project called the Sonoma Baylands Project. Is that right? Sonoma Baylands Project. And on that note, let me introduce Ralph Benson and John Brosnan of Sonoma Land Trust. Welcome to Mouthful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Michelle.
Now, you're the executive director, Ralph.
That's correct.
And you're managing the Baylands Project specifically. Is that right, John?
That's right.
Okay, let's save Lakeville for the second part, or just get to, first of all, what is Sonoma Land Trust? And I do want to remind listeners that we are in our spring membership drive. If you don't want to hear us pitch in about 15 or 20 minutes, you can just go to the website, krcb.org, and become a member, or you can call now anyway, 584-2020, and just ask whoever is answering the phone what the thank you gifts are. The more calls we get, the less begging I'll be doing in a little bit. So on that note,
What's the Sonoma Land Trust?
What's the Sonoma Land Trust, and how? What year were you founded?
We're founded in 76, so we're a little more than 30 years old. There are currently probably about 1,600 land trusts around the country, maybe more than that by now. And the Sonoma Land Trust is one of a number of land trusts around the Bay Area. We're our mission is to protect forever the scenic, the agricultural, the cultural, the natural landscapes of Sonoma County. And we're lucky, and Sonoma County is extraordinary in that we also have a funded government agency, the County Open Space District.
Mm-hmm.
And so our missions are really almost identical. We do essentially the same thing, but we're an independent nonprofit. We were founded 30 years ago. The district came into being in 1990, but we work hand in hand.
You do, and you work together. You don't compete for funding.
No, we work very closely.
That's
in
great.
Fact, sort of one of our major efforts last year was to help get the district reauthorized. And that I think, shows as much as anything where the values of people in this county lie and why people care so much about the land in Sonoma County. You may recall that the district was created in 1990 by a vote.
The public
and
voted.
It's funded with a quarter-cent sales tax, so it's a tax. And that tax had a limited lifespan for 20 years, so we were going to lose the district unless the voters reauthorize it. So it was put on the ballot last year. It was Measure F, and it passed by a 75% yes vote, which is extraordinary.
That really is.
In these times for a tax. And I think it really is a testament to the value that people in Sonoma County put on place and on the land here. It really is the treasure.
How does the Land Trust, and Open Space District for that matter, but how do you protect the land? What does that mean?
We do a number of different things. We focus on land acquisition. We help acquire land to protect it forever. We work with conservation easements, and then we restore and manage land. So it's one of the things about Sonoma County is we have this really rich network of nonprofit organizations, public agencies, all pretty much working in concert toward the same ends. So our niche is land acquisition and conservation easements. Conservation easements are where we work with a private landowner who, in effect, gives up the future development rights of the property. And conservation easements are an important tool in Sonoma County in particular because it's such a privately owned county. And often for agricultural land, for example, for pasture land, you really want the land to stay in private ownership. It's managed by the agricultural community, but you don't want to see it developed in the future. And so that's where conservation easements come in. The Land Trust holds about 35 conservation easements over property throughout Sonoma County. And then we have an active program of volunteer monitors. So our job is to monitor the easements, make sure that the landowners are complying with the terms of the easement. And just as much when the subsequent landowner comes along, you and I may strike a deal for a conservation easement. You may be a conservation-minded landowner, so you work with the Land Trust and we put an easement on the property. But eventually you'll sell the property or it'll go into other ownership. So we try to work with the subsequent owners so that they understand.
So you can't do an easement that it doesn't survive transfer of ownership. You have to do a new
one. No, it goes with the land and it goes forever. And our tagline at the Land Trust is to protect the land forever. So what we're really into is permanent land protection so that generations beyond us can come to Sonoma County. You mentioned you came here when you were little. I was here in the 50s. My father ran a summer camp in Casadero, and so I have really fond associations with Sonoma County. Then I was away for a long time but came back, and Sonoma County is one of those places that still it's changed an awful lot, but it really looks like it did when you get out to the West County years ago, and our hope is that we'll be able to pass this on to our kids and their kids and beyond.
And to a large degree, Lakeville looks a lot like it did. There's a couple of major exceptions. I don't know how they got what became Infineon through, but you know.
Well, easements are part of the story, but the other thing we're involved with is land acquisition, and that's what came to play. And we can talk about the acquisitions down at the Baylands, but we also have acquired properties throughout the county over the years.
Yeah, you have a map here that divides it up into conservation regions, and they're not exact. They don't follow exactly, say, the Appalachians of Sonoma County, but you can sort of see, okay, there's some resonance.
No, we have programs on the coast. We have programs, and we've worked closely with the Laguna Foundation and the Laguna de Santa Rosa. We work over in the Sonoma Valley and in the North County, and we hold a number of preserves around the county. These are quite extraordinary places, like the Laufenberg Ranch.
I was going to ask you about the Laufenberg Ranch,
Glen Oaks Ranch in Glen Ellen. We have property on the Estero Americano, and these are preserves that are open on a limited basis in connection with our hikes program, and we work with other nonprofit groups like Land Paths and Circuit Riders to bring kids out, do restoration programs on these properties. But increasingly, what we find is we're involved in large, expensive land acquisitions where we can leverage the open space district's funds. That's essentially what we did down on the bay, and it's what we're doing now on the coast around Jenner, where there's an opportunity, as there was when the Federated Indians of Grayton Rancheria decided to relocate. They turned their option to buy about 2,300 acres over to the land trust. And so what that created for us was an opportunity. It was an opportunity to raise about $20 million to buy the land. And the Open Space District has a funding source, but they don't have enough money to buy these larger properties. So there are federal funds available, and there are state funds available. The state funds, thanks to the passage last year of Proposition 84, and they go through the Coastal Conservancy and the Department of Fish and Game and state parks. They all have access to some funds, but what it's taking for these large acquisitions now is pulling all the funds together so that everybody's working together, and that's really the role of the land trust these days. So we acquired that property on the bay. We're working on some other acquisitions there. We're also in negotiations with the owners of what we call the Jenner Headlands. It's the property to the north of Jenner, which we think eventually would be a great addition to the state park system. But that's some years off, and so we hope to acquire it. The land trust will hold it, and then eventually it'll go into the state park system. So, and in order to do that, it's going to take more money than the Open Space District can commit. So we'll work with the Coastal Conservancy. We'll work with the state agencies and try to assemble the funding package. So we're very much involved in finance.
So, yeah, it sounds like a lot of – sounds like what the land trust has to do is have the vision and the expertise to know to how to acquire the land and manage it, but also then do massive amounts of fundraising.
It's fundraising, and it's working with other public agencies with funding sources. No, fundraising is just like it is for the radio station.
Yeah, and
it
it's
is for the land trust.
And we should say that the land trust is a membership organization as well as, I mean, you have members at the basic level, right? That sort of thing?
We totally depend upon our members. That's the foundation for the land trust, and we would welcome anybody who'd like to join in the work. And
well, what we'll do is before, right at the end of Mouthful, this is how we always do it, get your pencils, get your pieces of paper, and we'll give you all the contact information for the Sonoma Land Trust so that, you know, I know you guys do a fabulous newsletter. You have another, your hiking program is really great. So it's just to get the information about what's going on. It can get depressing if you're driving, say, from West County to Napa. And it's like, they're like mushrooms, these housing developments or strip malls that you drive past a country where one day, then it's not there, but you guys are protecting
it. It's really not in Sonoma County. I mean, Sonoma County has done a lot of things right. The county has urban growth limits. We have, and the state of California really has, strong coastal protections.
Yes.
So the coast is pretty well protected.
Yeah, the coast is protected.
And we have the Open Space District, which creates a funding source which the land trust and other groups can leverage to purchase these important lands. So Sonoma County is one place that really we can do it. We can protect the countryside as long as we channel the growth into the existing cities.
Yeah.
And
I think when you're driving,
accommodate that growth.
Yeah, I think when you're driving certain roads, you forget that. And that, I mean, that's one of the things I love about the land trust is like, no, there's a broader perspective. Just because that's a new development doesn't mean what you care about is disappearing. It just means that it occurred on a road you often drive, which in a way is part of the point. It's a heavily traveled area. Maybe that's an appropriate place.
But there are other roads. I was out in West County today that just take your breath away when you.
Oh, yeah, some of those secret rides. I know. I don't try. I try not to talk about them too much. John, let's talk about the Baylands Project in particular. Tell us, first of all, what sort of the geographical, you know,
The geographical location.
The location and the scope of it. That's the word I was looking for, was the scope.
Well, it comes, the term Balens comes from, basically what it means are lands that are either currently inundated by the tides or were historically. And in the case of the southern part of the county, it's more often that the lands were historically inundated by the tides. And so in this area, we've lost about 85% of the tidal wetlands that were there about 150 years ago. And so that really is the reason for that big flat expanse that you see down there. And so if you're coming from Marin, say, and you come up over the Petaluma River, there is no other place in the Bay Area where you have that big, wide feeling.
Your, your breathing changes when you come over and enter that. It's just like all of those little knots just sort of open up, and here you are.
You understand the term breathtaking when you come over
absolutely.
That hill. And it is. I mean, that area really is iconic in that it's the only place that is so wide open and preserved wide open and so close to the urban Bay Area. And also Cougar Mountain on the other side, the mountain that does buffer the Balens from the Infinian Raceway on the other side. You can see Cougar Mountain from points 20 miles away all over the North Bay. And so we, you know, the Land Trust has been involved in preservation in that area for over the past 20 years. It survived a lot of near misses.
Yes.
You know, in the 60s and 70s, it was proposed as an overflow airport for the major Bay Area airports.
Eek.
It was proposed as a landfill, and it was proposed as a planned city of about 30,000, kind of like Foster City in the South Bay. But that bill made it all the way to Jerry Brown's desk, and he vetoed it.
Really?
Yes.
That gives me chills.
Well, it's, you know, from a developer's perspective, it's kind of perfect. It's got access to the water, it's got a highway, it's got a rail line, it's got everything that you would need, but it never made it.
Now, do those threats, are those, is it now protected from those sorts of threats?
The majority of the area, the Land Trust either owns, has easements on, or has had some hand in the protection of about 4,000 acres down there.
And when you say that we've lost about 85% of the tidal wetlands, will you be restoring a portion of that land?
That's a big piece of the work that the Land Trust is involved in on the Bay right now, in that we are moving forward with the Sears Point Restoration Project, which is the area south of Highway 37 near the interchange at Lakeville. And the plan that the Land Trust is pursuing right now involves about 970 acres of tidal marsh restoration. And so bit by bit, all over the Bay Area, there are these organizations that are taking on these kinds of projects to put back in these pretty big chunks these days the habitat that are that's required by endangered species in the region.
And I know that it affects not just endangered species, but if we could talk a little bit about how, you know, this is an agricultural area. It's still an agricultural county. How is a natural wetlands, how does it connect to that whole web of an agricultural environment? Why should people say who are living in Healdsburg or Occidental care about keeping this wetlands, you know, or reestablishing some of that's missing?
Well, one of the things, you know, one of the approaches that the Land Trust has taken in the work in the Balens is that you can have it all, more or less. Over 20 years ago, the Land Trust was involved in the first acquisition in the region, and it was a property that kind of went from the bay and straddled Highway 37 to the north. And we moved forward with a couple of different agencies, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the State Coastal Conservancy, and basically looked at that land and tried to have a little bit of everything. And so as it is today, the southernmost portion of that property is over 300 acres restored to tidal marsh. North of that is an agricultural property with an agricultural easement on it so that it stays in agricultural for perpetuity. There's also some seasonal wetlands enhancement on that piece. North of Highway 37, it's a 300-acre seasonal wetlands enhancement project that also involves cattle grazing on it. And so that approach of you can have this mix of all these different activities is actually what you see replicated just the other side of Lakeville on the Sears Point project. And so we see the ecological advantages to including agriculture as a land use on site, both in grazing as well as farming. And so the plan that we're moving forward with is very similar to what we've done in the past. So you do have tidal wetlands restoration, you have seasonal wetlands enhancement that allows farming to continue, and you have grazing continuing in the uplands as well to the benefit of some of the sensitive resources up there.
And then recreation's a part of the mix, too, with a segment of the Bay Trail going through there.
So is that what you're establishing, a full Bay Trail in that area?
That's right. You know, southern Sonoma County has pretty much been in agriculture and held privately for decades. And so the Sonoma Baylands project, which was the former project done out there, we've just completed a mile-and-a-half levee top trail down there, so you have public access right along the bay. It's incredible bird watching. And that's now open to the public.
Oh, it is?
It is.
Oh, that's excellent. That's outstanding.
I think the use is only going to continue to pick up out there. And with the Sears Point project next door, we're planning for up to 6 miles of additional bay trail in the area.
God, you guys do such incredible work.
Thanks.
John mentioned the area we have an agricultural easement over. That is the one area that we're concerned about because the there's the Port Sonoma Marina down there, which kind of functions as a marina, but they also own the lower ranch and have recently been putting dredge spoils on the ranch. So we're involved in a controversy with the port. The port has announced plans that it would like to become a ferry terminal and a larger transportation hub, and the land trust isn't taking a position on that issue. We're saying whatever happens on the Port Sonoma property is one thing. There's 110 acres there. But we are concerned about what's happening across the road because we hold this easement and we're committed to seeing that land remain in agriculture. And we don't think dumping dredge spoils on the ranch is consistent with agriculture. Yeah. So we're in a dispute with that landowner. That's very unusual for the land trust because we're also not an advocacy organization. We tend not to take positions. We just work with landowners. But once we hold an easement, we have a responsibility to enforce it. And we really feel strongly about this landscape, that it is protected, and we want to see it remain protected.
And when you say you're in a dispute, how does that sort of thing
play out? It's a lawsuit.
Oh, there you go. Answer that question.
We unfortunately, we had long discussions. We weren't able to work it out. So we filed a lawsuit, which is, again, different from us. We have been joined in the lawsuit by the California Coastal Conservancy and the California Attorney General's office, and 30-some land trusts around the state have also signed a petition urging us to pursue this matter. So, because it really does go to the enforceability of easements. This is a case where a subsequent landowner really has an economic incentive to do something else with the property, and we feel it's important to for the use of easements everywhere to take a stand on this.
Well, good for you. I'm glad to know that you're doing it. It is mouthful. We are talking about Sonoma Land Trust in general, but more specifically, the Sonoma Baylands Project. It's a region of Lakeville that has always reminded me of Thomas Hardy's fictional Wessex County. And we're going to take a little musical break and be right back. It's Mouthful. It is KRCB. It is public radio for Sonoma County. You are the public in public radio. Did you know that? Are you thinking about it right now? We've got to do this 3 or 4 times a year. We've got to come and ask you to pony up some cash so that we can keep the station going. 584-2020 is the number. If you're listening online, 707-584-2020 if you would like to give us a call. I'd really like to get 5 calls during this break. That's not really a lot, I don't think. And there's lots of reasons for you to become a member. One of them, the most important one is because we bring you people like the Sonoma Land Trust. We talk about areas such as Lakeville. I've been doing Mouthful for almost 12 years as a volunteer. I always say the only money involved in Mouthful is what I spend. So I put in my time. I also am a member, and I'm hoping that if you listen to Mouthful, you don't even need to remember if you're a member or not. Remember if it expired. We'll tell you. Just give us a call, 584-2020, at whatever membership level you can afford. And, you know, it's one of the things, like the land trust, like the lands that are protected by the land trust, it's one of the things that keeps Sonoma County unique. I'm going to turn you over to Nicolette and Shelley now, who can talk about some of the premiums and whatever else they want. But I'm also going to bring my guests in a couple minutes, see if they can give us any additional reasons and how to make this work. Get those phones ringing, 584-2020.
584-2020, that's the number to call. And hopefully you're just going right over to your phone. But I'm going to tell you, when you call at the $40 level, you're going to not only get the Open Air Program Guide, but you're going to get the Open Space District Screensaver Program with beautiful shots of Northern California open spaces and landscapes for your computer screen, and the Open Space District Map of hiking, walking, running, day packing, historical trails and parks in the North Bay. And when you call at any level above $40, you're also going to get those things. And open space is a big part of this pledge drive, Nicolette.
Yes, it is. It relates to the land trust that we're talking about today, appreciating the outdoors on a gorgeous day like this. And you can take some of your free gifts, like the pedometer that you get at the $60 level, or the water bottle that you get at the $80 level, and your pedometer, and you can go explore the fabulous trails and protected land that you get to hear about right now on Mouthful. Or if you pledge at the $80 level, you can get Michelle's book, The World is a Kitchen, and obviously you like Michelle because you're listening to her show, so why wouldn't you want her book?
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't want her book.
Thank you, Nicolette. And it's not, you know, I'm just the editor on that book. It's a collection of 37 stories about cooking around the world. One of the things, I want to take an analogy that you made, John, about how you understand what breathtaking means when you come over that hill from Marin and suddenly you're in this really breathtaking scenic landscape, wetlands. There's one call. 584-2020 is the number for you to join the caller that we have right now. You know, if we had paved over those wetlands, if we didn't have those wetlands, we would be just a little more homogeneous with the rest of the Bay Area. The same thing is true with radio. Maybe you get other radio stations from San Francisco, from Berkeley. There are a lot of great radio stations throughout the Bay Area. And I, being the radio junkie that I am, I, you know, am a member of probably 4 radio stations. But this is my station, not because I'm on the air, but this is the one that talks about my community. This is the one that is based in my backyard. Maybe you're living far away and you used to live in Sonoma County. Maybe you visited Sonoma County and that's why you listen on the air. Whatever your reason for listening to this particular station, hearing my voice right now, KRCB, the call letters, 91.1, 90.9 FM. You know, it's one of the things that keeps us less generic. You know, we're not homogenous. We're not just one big Bay Area. This is a distinct community. And when you call 584-2020 and show you become a member, you are becoming a member of a distinct, separate community that is really precious. What do you guys think about this sort of thing? How are we doing?
I think just as you said, I mean, it's very much about place. It's about Sonoma County and it's identifying with the community that we live in here, and it's distinctive. And there are other land trusts around the Bay Area, but this is Sonoma County. This is Sonoma County's radio station. Mm-hmm. And part of local citizenship is just supporting these local institutions that that make our culture distinctive and that celebrate this place.
If you don't have any reason to take any of the gifts and you've got an extra $200 lying around, you can call in at the what we call the activist level and give the gift of 10 radio spots to Land Trust, for instance.
That's
to the
right.
Open Space District.
You know, you could do 10 slots
we'll
on
make,
the hiking.
Right. We'll make 10 beautifully produced public service announcements and play them during drive time So you're supporting not only KRCB, but also the Open Space District or any other nonprofit organization that you love. 584-2020 is the number to call, 584-2020. And we'll also send you the map, of course. And we'll also send you the Open Air Program Guide. I mean, the point is calling.
Yeah, and you know, I've learned things about the county that I didn't, and I've been writing about Sonoma County for over 20 years. I learned things about the county that I didn't know before because of some of those public service announcements that members of the community, just like you, have called and given to their favorite nonprofit. 584-2020 is
the
number.
Well, you're helping both. You're helping both your
you're
favorite
both.
Nonprofits.
And I should tell you, always on Mouthful, there is the Radio Fanatic, the $1 a day membership level, $365, $1 a day.
I hear a lot of books coming.
Yep, you get a baker's dozen bag of cookbooks when you join at that level. You can tell me what your particular interests are, and I will put together a bag of cookbooks that addresses that theme in some way or another. Nicolette, you have some news for us?
We just had a caller from Santa Rosa, and even if you can't donate, if you can only donate just $10, we appreciate that, and we will send you a thank you gift.
Yeah, at whatever level. I mean, this is your community. That's what it's about, community. You join at whatever level you can because you're here and you want to honor and celebrate this place. 584-2020 is the number. We're going to go back to our interview with the folks from Sonoma Land Trust now. If you haven't ponied up, take it on faith that you're going to call before 8 o'clock. It's Mouthful. It's KRCB. I'm Michelle Jordan. My guest this evening, John Brosnan, handling the Baylands Project for Sonoma Land Trust, and Ralph Benson, Executive Director of the Sonoma Land Trust, doing great work to preserve this really, really wonderful place. Can we talk, leave Baylands for a minute, and you know, you've probably already gathered, I can talk about Lakeville forever. At some point, you just have to shut me up.
It's understandable.
It is. And at some point, I'm actually going to do a radio show that is Lakeville Stories based on the chapbook I'm working on. I'm going to get people into the studio, and we're going to do just a whole hour of stories about Lakeville. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the Laufenberg Ranch. I want you to tell us what and where the Laufenberg Ranch is, and then what's going on with it these days.
It's an extraordinary place. It's a wonderful old ranch in Knights Valley. And Knights Valley is this
pristine
treasure in the north part of the county. It was left to the land trust by Charlie Laufenberg, who died in his 90s. He'd lived his entire life there. It's a farm. Bidwell Creek runs through the ranch, and we have had it leased out to Forney Brown, some growers, for the last
They were based in Calistoga.
Based in Calistoga. Yeah. They have given up their lease. We've also been working with Circuit Riders, Land Paths, other environmental education groups on the rest, and we have a restoration program going on along Bidwell Creek. And we have just been doing some sort of farm research on the property and getting ready to ask for proposals on how to release the ranch. And what we'd like to see is we'd like to see it actively farmed. We'd like to continue with the environmental restoration program that's been going on along Bidwell Creek. And we'd like to use it more as a community asset. It has been used by the Knights Valley Association, other groups. We've opened it up to. There's a barn that's one of the loveliest barns in Sonoma County on the ranch. Currently, Barney and Annette Welsh are the caretakers out there. They're doing a wonderful job. And we just want it to be a part of the community.
You want people to be able to see it.
We'd like people to be able to see it in an appropriate way. It's kind of tucked away, as you may know, in the corner of the valley there.
But how many acres is it?
It's several hundred acres.
What an extraordinary thing for Charlie Laufenberg to do, to leave it to the Land Trust.
It was a magnificent gift. We also have Joan Cochran left Glen Oaks Ranch in Sonoma Valley.
Right.
So we have a number of these properties we're calling anchor preserves. And in each case, we're trying to sort of use it on behalf of the community, get involve the community in the use of the property, but also use it as to develop a larger conservation effort. For example, in Knights Valley, we're in discussions with a number of the landowners about conservation easements over adjacent properties to
there's some controversy going on there.
We're not really involved in the controversial part of it.
Right.
We work with willing landowners, and if they want to deal with us, we're open to putting easements on the property and holding them.
Back to Laufenberg Ranch. Do you know anything about the orange tree?
I don't know about the orange tree.
Okay.
There's a magnificent historic bay tree on the property.
Now, there's also supposed to be way back, far, far back in the property, somebody who, I'm not sure if it was David Katz, not sure who it was, someone told me, it's been a number of years now, about this orange tree planted late 19th, early 20th century, gnarled, ancient-looking, and still producing
oranges.
Incredible tasting oranges.
We'll check on Monday.
That sounds like it's worth the trip.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go out and see if it was possible to hike to that orange tree. And I love that idea that here's this tree all these years later. It's still out there, like that whole thing that you might have had to deal with in philosophy class.
Several of the slow food groups have used the ranch for picnics.
Well, the idea of, does a tree, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a noise? Mm-hmm. So if a tree is growing oranges and nobody's there to eat them. Anyway, I just think about that orange tree a lot.
It's a lovely thought. You can be sure we'll check it out.
You'll have to let me know. What kinds of things? Now, let's talk a little bit about the hiking. Partly that's really relevant to the membership drive that we have going on right now. And you can still call. It's 584-2020. But I think part of the reason we focused on that this year is that get out and see this extraordinary place where you live. And that's one of the things I know the Land Trust does. And you do it, is it members only? Or?
We do member hikes, and then we do other open events too. Mm-hmm. We have volunteer opportunities. We have a group of people who come in and help us on land restoration. But the hikes, we try to do three or four each season, four times a year. And they're of varying levels of difficulty.
Yeah, you rate them like on 1 to 3 or something.
Vigorous hikes. Others are kind of a stroll down a path with some interesting people.
So if you're a wimp,
some have been poetry readings
do that
in our at Bolton House. Bolton House is the home of the Land Trust in Santa Rosa. It was a gift to the Land Trust. It's a wonderful Queen Anne.
Where is it located?
It's at the corner of Sonoma Avenue and Brookwood.
Sonoma and Brookwood. Absolutely. And I see the sign all the time.
Sort of lends itself to events as well. And we have some of our hikes are simply readings at Brookwood House, but more are out on the land. And John's led a number of them.
You lead them out in the Baylands?
All the time.
Now, how do people find out about them?
Well, as Ralph said, we do tend to have about one every quarter down for the hike series for the Land Trust members. But because the Baylands property and the Steers Point property is so visible to so many people and not a whole lot of folks have an idea of the scale of what's out there, we do put announcements for just general members of the public to come on out. And so those will appear in the paper from time to time. And I think that probably happens about three times a year or so because you do have a lot of folks. There are about 40,000 people a day who pass by the property, and they just don't even know what's up there. And we lead some pretty strenuous hikes. So if you've got some sturdy boots and you've got a nice afternoon, we take folks up the hill away from the highway to the point where you can't even hear or see it anymore. And it's its own little world out there.
Well, that's really amazing to get far enough away that you can't hear it. It's really something. And so you say in the paper, do you mean in the Press Democrat? You announce them there?
In the Press Democrat, it also appears in the Index Tribune in Sonoma Valley. But as we are able to do so, we just try to let people know who are interested in these kinds of things that the opportunity is out there.
And do you post announcements about the hikes on your website as well?
They are on the website.
That's right. They are.
That's great. And we'll be giving all those addresses. Now back to the Baylands, which I call Lakeville. What are some of the species that people might expect to see when they're out wandering around out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you get out in the hills, I think probably one of the cooler things to see are some of the raptors out there, so the hawks. There are golden eagles that nest just north of the Infinian property, and so they'll be flying over the Balin's properties. And in addition to that, there are a variety of owls that live in the uplands.
Yes.
The burrowing owls that live up there, they're about 9 inches tall. They're just about the cutest owl that you've ever seen. And the kind of habitat that you find on these ranch properties down there in these really deep gullies provides habitat for owls that are really rare in southern Sonoma County, and it's really grabbed the attention of a lot of the partner groups that we worked with. So the birds are spectacular.
I remember when I was living at Lakeville, at night after my girls had gone to sleep, I would hear, it would be so quiet. No, every now and then, maybe every half hour, there might be a truck roaring out on Lakeville Highway, but I would listen to the owls talk to each other, or so I thought. It seemed like it was coming from different parts, and the same tone would always come from the same part. So I had this idea that there were four owls out there, you know, hooting at each other all night, and that's how I would drift to sleep when I was, the whole time I lived there. It was just really beautiful.
There's a wonderful dark night sky down there too. When you really get down on the bay, you're away from the lights and you see the stars,
and it is as gorgeous as the Valley of the Moon is, and the Valley of the Moon is absolutely spectacular. There's nothing like watching the full moon rise from Lakeville. It is absolutely gorgeous.
Well, it just feels like it's you and the moon out there.
It does. It does, absolutely. It's so vivid, and it feels so close there.
I was at a charity lunch a week or so ago in Petaluma, and it was honoring the Benedetti family, and the late Jean Benedetti was talked about, and they explained that at every family event or the kind of events that he was involved with, his favorite song was God Bless America, and so they had everybody stand up and do a rousing rendition of God Bless America. And I thought during the – there's that chorus about from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. And I was thinking, how many other counties do you sort of get that from the mountains – in our case, to the valleys, to the oceans, white with foam. Sonoma County really has all of those landscapes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the great things. You know, I love it when visitors go to Napa because, you know, go to Napa, Highway 29, it's fine. And they say, oh, Sonoma, isn't that a Napa? It's like, no, Napa doesn't have the ocean. And we do, which is one of the great things. What did I want to ask you? Something. We're talking about the species that you see down around there. Oh, I know. Talk about how it's kept in agriculture. And certainly we know cattle grazing.
Right.
And not as much dairy, but still a little bit.
The dairy that was operated on the
Sleepy Hollow certainly has closed.
Sleepy Hollow on Lakeville Road, yes.
That's closed.
And the dairy that operated on the properties that we managed down there, that went through the 70s. And ever since then, it's been a cattle ranching operation, beef cattle.
There are grapevines now. There's grapes being produced. I think that started in the 90s. I don't think it was before the 90s. What other agricultural products are going on in Lakeville?
Oat hay. In the flat lands of what are now diked off and what used to be the historic tidal marshes out there, the residual salts that are in the soil there, the oat hay can really tolerate that well. And so that winds up being the feed for horses and for dairy cows in the region. One of our farmers, it's a direct production line. It goes right from the property to his dairy in Sonoma. But really, that's been the history of the agricultural production in that area. And even back in the 1880s, they were growing oat hay on the first areas that they reclaimed from the marshes. And there was a train line that went right out to the water there at what was called Sonoma Landing. And they would load up these bales of hay and bring them into the city before they had cars. They had to feed the horses.
Now, for a long time, didn't people enter Sonoma County by boat and get off there at the Lakeville Marina?
There were a couple
is now
of
Papa's
different
Papa's Taverna.
Yes.
Would you talk a little bit about that, how people got here and then how they got either into Petaluma or up to Santa Rosa?
Well, the Lakeville corridor has been a major transportation corridor for as long as there have really been people settled down there. But you're absolutely right. There were a couple of different landings up the Petaluma River, which used to be a slough until they had it renamed a river so they could improve the navigation through there. But that's always been, as you said, the access point. So both for goods coming in and out of Sonoma County to and from San Francisco and for people, that's been where people connect with Sonoma County.
So before there were cars, I mean, people would arrive at the Marina, one of the landings, and then what?
Well, you know, I don't know as much about the history back then, but I wonder where Stage Gulch Road got its name from.
Yes. Okay, well, I do know a little bit about Lakeville Marina, and they would be carried by stagecoach into either Petaluma or Santa Rosa, but their luggage wouldn't. Their luggage would follow an ox cart. So whenever I drive Lakeville down between those, you know, towering eucalyptus trees that are under threat right now, you should know there's a proposal up to take down all of the eucalyptus trees that line that incredible stretch of Lakeville. If you want more information about that, you can send me an email at catsmilk@sonic.net, and I'll send you what I know. I think there's a meeting about it Tuesday night. Anyway, I just drive out there, and I imagine this two-wheeled cart being pulled by two oxen. And,
although
you know,
they were
the
probably
trunks.
Going between thin little brand-new eucalyptus trees, right?
Right. I just think of, you know, the trunks filled with, you know, those beautiful Victorian dresses and all that sort of thing, and the people in the stagecoach. It wasn't that long ago. We're talking 150 years ago, really.
And before the sedimentation, as John mentioned earlier, Sears Point really was a point that jutted out, and that the bay actually came right up to the foot of Cougar Mountain. We have a lot of the old maps that go back historically and show where the shoreline was.
Let me ask a dumb question. How did Cougar Mountain get its name?
Well, actually, Tole was the, I think it was, I believe it was the Pomo word for wildcat. And so that area, Tole Lake, did have mountain lions or cougars in the area. And I feel really lucky that I got to see one actually out there on the west side of Cougar Mountain just a couple of years ago. And I think it was because there was a small group of people out there, but we came over a ridge. Some deer took off in one direction, a coyote took off in another direction, and this cougar went straight uphill. It was amazing.
And I assume that there's probably a decent cougar population out in that area.
You know, I've talked to the farmers who work on the property closest to the bay, so south of Highway 37, south of the railroad tracks, and they have found cougar tracks down there.
Interesting. Now, we want to give people contact information for how they can become a member of the Land Trust or just get more information. Is the website best? Is phoning best?
It's simply SonomaLandTrust.org, and just go to our
website.
That's
easy. Sonoma, SonomaLandTrust.org.
If 526-6930 is our phone number.
That's area code 707-526-6930 for information or to connect with the Land Trust. Lots of volunteer opportunities, really great newsletter, great organization. And I think for the last, we've got about three or four more minutes. Let's just wrap it up with a little more.
It seems to me folks should go on and rejoin KRCB and then click over to the Sonoma Land Trust and join the Land Trust.
There you go. So we're going to do a couple more minutes. I want to thank a couple of people. This one here, Nicolette, do we know? Oh, we can thank Garrick Mall on the air. Garrick, thank you very much. Then we have someone who we can thank them, but we can thank them anonymously. Dollar a day, $365. She's getting the cookbooks. Woo-hoo! Thank you so much. There are still cookbooks left to make this happen. 584-2020 is the number. And even if, you know, Sonoma County, Mouthful is KRCB's one national podcast. Our fabulous engineer dude, I'm not even sure the right thing to call him, Sean, does whatever you do to magically take a recorded broadcast, transform it into a podcast, and send it to NPR.org. So sometime between Tuesday and Wednesday, it magically appears on NPR's podcast website. And usually by Wednesday evening, you can go to iTunes and you type in Mouthful. My face comes up like a little postage stamp. And you can get a free subscription to Mouthful. Mouthful will be delivered weekly to your iTunes. How cool is that? So, therefore, if you are listening to this at some time other than between 7 and 8 p.m. on a Sunday evening, you can just go to the website, krcb.org, and if you can't find out the details, you send an email to the station and just say, you know, I love Mouthful. I want to become a member. Tell me how. Send your phone number. We'll take care of it, I promise. 584-2020 is the number. Lots of thank you gifts. The emphasis this time on the thank you gifts is get out and see Sonoma County. There's a great map. There's a screensaver with scenes of Sonoma County. There are all kinds of little things to enhance your out and aboutness. But the main thing is, you know, support your public radio station, okay? And I want to thank my guests. I really appreciate you taking time on a Sunday, and I just want to place myself at your feet in gratitude for what you are doing to preserve. I've been coming here my whole life. I love Sonoma County, and it really touches me deeply that you're preserving what I love. So thank you for your work.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank
We're
you,
all
Michelle.
Doing it.
707-584-2020 is the number. Do we have anything more we want to say? I think we have two more minutes.
I don't know. We get lots of thank you gifts we can give away.
Grundig Radio for when you're outside walking on the trails.
For just $10 a month, 584-2020.
And that's Shelley Berman coming up in just 5 minutes now. We'll be Outbeat. Shelley does a great job with Outbeat. So anyway, 584.
Thanks, Michelle. But $10 a month. I mean, what Nicolette was saying about this Grundig radio, you can have it, you can just crank it with your little paw, and it works. You don't need batteries. It's good. It has emergency waves. It even has a jack for your cell phone. It's an amazing thing. It's up to date. And just $10 a month. Think about $10 a month, folks. You spend that on a coffee sometimes. You can spend $10 on a coffee.
You could lose $10 a month.
I was just going to say that. You're reading my mind. Yeah, you can lose it in change.
I think I do, actually. I wonder where all my money goes. I could support KRCB.
Yeah.
584-2020 is the way to do it.
Then it keeps coming back. It keeps on giving.
The show will be pre-recorded next week because I am going on a rare vacation.
Wow.
This time next week,
it's a good one.
Hiking over the lava to watch it flowing into the ocean on Big Island. I will be, you can be sure I'll be talking about it. I may even take my tape recorder and do some more interviews while I'm in Hawaii.
Well, say what you're going to say what next week's show is going to be.
Next week is, Shelley's very excited. It's Lydia Bastianich, the reigning queen of public television, owner of several restaurants in New York, and one of the most generous cookbook authors alive today. So that is a week from tonight. I will see you back here on June 10th. Or so I hope. Never want to be too certain about anything in this world, except, hey, it's your public radio station. 584-2020 is the way to support it.
Well, I went to church last Sunday so I could sing and pray. But something quite unusual happened on that day. My church, it started right on time, just like it does without a doubt. And everything was all just fine, except when it came time to let us out. You know, the preacher, he kept preaching. He told us, I have one more thing to say. Children, before you think of leaving, you better think about the judgment day. Now, everyone got nervous because everyone was hungry too. Everyone was wondering what was the next thing he would do. And the preacher, he kept preaching. He said, now I remind you if I...